WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio presents What It Takes to Win with record-breaking race car champion Dr. Audrey Zavatsky. Dr. Audrey launched her racing career at the Bob Bondurant High Performance Driving School in Chandler, Arizona. She has gone on to win regional championships with the Sports Car Club of America, the Women's Global GT Inaugural Race winner in the American Lehman's Series, the Midwest and Great Lakes American Iron Championships in the National Auto Sports Association. She has also won the NASA Legacy Trophy. In addition to professional racing, Dr. Audrey works at the Ford Motor Company as a leadership and professional development program manager. Her presentation of What It Takes to Win was recorded in front of a live audience from the Blue Ribbon stage at the Lake County Fair on Friday, July 25th. Now, here is 2012 Sports Faith Hall of Fame inductee, Dr. Audrey Zavatsky.
Well, thanks for coming. I really appreciate it. So you saw a little bit of what I do, some of the appearances I've had, some of the cars that I've been in, some of the races that I've been at, some of the mishaps that I have had along the way. But I want to give you a little bit of history about myself. I was raised on a farm. I was the youngest of three. My parents actually had a sixth and eighth grade education, but they felt that education was very important and wanted us kids to go on, so they supported us in everything that we did. They also were very devout in their faith, and they worked hard. My parents had a greenhouses for our business, so I learned very young to help out in the family business of growing vegetable and flower plants. I also had aunts that would actually grow vegetables, so we were very much part of our Michigan State Fair. We would go and we would have displays and actually win for the displays and for the biggest vegetables. So it was neat to be able to have that exposure, to be taught the importance of working hard, having a plan, and also winning as part of that. So what does it take to win? Well, my parents and my husband, Rich, Dr. Z over here, who just stood up and is walking around the back in the blue, they taught me some really good life's lessons. And I categorize them into four groups, which one is doing good, the second is helping people, the third is to live your dream, and the fourth is to never give up, to learn from things that may not go your way. So my husband and I decided that we were going to go out and get a doctorate degree, the highest degree of education that you could get. So after 9 years, we finally got it, and my husband gave me a graduation gift and sent me to the Bob Bondurant High Performance Driving School in Phoenix, Arizona. So I got the bug because it was such a challenge. I'm a nurse, and I knew all about the human body, but it was amazing to equate that to a car and how the car can perform and how important it is to have it integrate and take care of the car and make it one with you and be able to drive it fast and to win. So the other thing is that was part of my dream of going fast, having a challenge, but also not to have to worry about our friends, the cops out there on display, not to have to worry about them on the road, where I could go fast on a track and have fun. So I've been racing for 16 years. I've had 27 victories, 80 podium finishes. I've raced professionally for 8 years, had 32 races televised, and I made history several times by being the first woman. We had an inaugural all-women's race where I won that race in Atlanta, Georgia. I also remember that school I talked about that I went to went after I received my doctorate. Well, I was the first female instructor there at the Bondurant School in Arizona. I also was the first female to lead a lap at Daytona in Florida in a Mustang in the Grand Am Series. I also was the first female racer to be inducted into the Sports Faith International Hall of Fame. Yes, a great organization. I'm very appreciative of that. I also have set track records in California, Monterey, California. I do road course racing. So I set a track record there. I set a track record in Ohio, at Mid-Ohio. I set a track record in Wisconsin at Road Atlanta, Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, twice. I set a track record this past weekend twice in Pittsburgh. So few places I've had track records. So what does it take to win? There's a saying in racing that it says, in order to finish first, you must first finish. So what does that mean? What that means is I should not go out on the track and be stupid and have a crash in the first turn on the very first lap, because I'll never have the opportunity to finish the race or even win the race. So it's important to always think about what your end goal is, what you want to accomplish. So the first step, as I see it, is to map out a plan. What do I want to do? Well, of course I want to achieve a win. I want to win every single time out there. Does it happen always? No. Does it happen as I may have it, a plan in my mind? No. But there's a reason, many reasons perhaps. And sometimes the person above us may have other plans. It might be a lesson learned through the whole weekend. So it's important to win, in order to win, it's important to have a winning attitude and also be open to feedback and to learn from perhaps any mistakes or mishaps, but to always try to get better. The second step is to be able to pick out a car in a series that is within your budget or within what you want to achieve. Also, what type of car that you want to race. So I have options, several options, different cars, a Corvette, a Mustang, or other cars. I personally like the Mustang because I'm very comfortable driving in it. It's cost-effective, fun to drive. I do also teach in Corvettes. I have raced in a new Stingray, a Corvette, beautiful car. But I choose to race in a Mustang. The other is to look at different series. So there's Sports Car Club of America, which I have raced in. There's NASA, National Autosports Association, which I am currently racing in now. I've raced in Grand Am and also American Le Mans. So the third step to win is actually to practice. The art of winning is working hard. Vince Lombardi said, you know, winning isn't everything, but the will to win is everything. And that's, I think, very important, to have that will, that drive, that desire to win, because that will help to achieve that goal. The other thing is to practice, and for us younger folks, to eat right, to exercise, to take care of our bodies, but that will help us in the end to have stamina. You know, and we have to accept the cards that we're dealt with. We're dealt with our past, our history, who we're born into this world in, the body that we have, but we have to accept all that and make the best of it and go forward to win. The fourth step is to watch our opponents. Learning from winners is another thing. So what I do is I watch winners and figure out what is it about them that I can emulate or I can take from them and try to make my own to be a winner. The other thing is to have a strategy. If there's someone in front of me on the track, I have to figure out a strategy of how I'm going to get past them, where I'm going to make that pass, and how I'm going to be able to stay in front of them. The fifth step is to race. To win, it takes strength, endurance, skill, enthusiasm, and discipline to win. Henry Ford has a saying that if you think you can, you can. If you can't, you're correct. A lot of it is up here. So it's a matter of thinking that you can do something, a lot of hard work to actually achieve it, but a lot of it is mental. You envision yourself being a winner. A lot of it is also the self-talk. I am a winner. I am whatever. Your body, when you tell it negative stuff, that's all it hears. So you always want to make it the positive or what you want to be. Another thing on racing is the determination, the drive, the learning from mistakes, having a can-do attitude. My secret, as I call it, my secret, is my faith in God. And I believe that that really helps me on the track. I believe in prayer. I believe in a higher existence. And I put my trust in God that whatever is supposed to happen will happen. But I always ask to be safe and successful on the track. And okay, sometimes I may end up third, but I have to accept it. It might be harder. I wanted a win, but so be it. I learned from that. You know, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a bumper sticker out there that says, I never drive faster than my angels can fly. And I really believe in that. And a professional race car driver, well-known, Ayrton Senna, was a Formula One driver. He ended up dying in a race incident at a very young age, but he also had that belief. And he also believed that his angels kept telling him to drive faster. Well, I believe that the case too, that I think my angels really enjoy going for a fast ride with me. So I always want to go faster as well, and I always ask them to help me. Ayrton Senna also said, if you have God on your side, everything becomes clear. You know, there's other things that also go into racing well and winning, things like vision, things like reaction time, knowing the physics of the car and the other cars on the track. So all those factors come into play. I want to share with you a couple incidents that I have had in my racing career. I've had many, but one of them that stands out was in Sebring, Florida, where I qualified third. We went out on the track. I ended up getting hit in the third turn, got hit a couple times. I had my right rear fiberglass panel was hanging off the car, so it was actually causing some drag, slowing me down. I got hit really bad on the right side, finished the race, and how do you think, I'd throw it out to you, how do you think I finished? I started third, went to last, and then I finished the race, but what do you think, what position I ended up in? Anyone? Third? Okay, I ended up second. And what that was the drive, determination. I dug deep because I wasn't very happy, but I dug deep with everything I could to try to come back. And that drives the point. You never want to give up. You always want to do the best that you can do. And there might be some other circumstances that get thrown at you, but you make the best of it. When I came in the pits, my mechanics just scratched their head and shook their head and said, I should have never finished the race. I should have ended up stopping right then and there after the accident, because in the rim of the tire, it was actually cracked. So it never should have held together, if you will, for me to finish the race, but it did. So that's one example that I know that there was someone watching out for me in the race and helped me finish. Another incident that I had, and actually it was one of the clips that some of you may have seen, but it was in Dallas, Texas. It was 120 degrees out, something that we have here every day, right? No, thank God we don't. 120 degrees humid as I'm walking along in the parking lot, the soles under of my shoes were actually melting. So now you go in the race car, you have your race gear on, you have the heat from the car being transmitted through the transmission and coming from the floorboard of the car coming up. Very hot. So anyway, in qualifying, I had mechanical problems. So we didn't have a qualifying time, which meant that I had to start the race from the back. It was all women's race with all women's series that we had going on for 2 years. So started the race. It was 45 minutes long. It was part of the oval at Dallas Motor Speedway, and then you went into the road course inside, came back out on the oval. So I had been passing. Now I was battling for third place. So when we came from the in course out to the oval, the car in front of me had started to turn, and I had nowhere to go, so I ended up T-boning that car, which meant I went into them. So what happened was I had all of the damage on my car, where the clips of the hood loosened up. I had fiberglass that came off the car. And so what that meant was on the turn three of the oval, my hood would actually come up. So some of you might have seen it where the hood was coming up in a V and it was talking to me. I had one-way transmission at that time, a radio that my husband could talk to me, but I couldn't talk to back to him, so go figure that one out, guys. So anyway, what he was telling me was, Audrey, now your car is really cool. You can go really fast. But what happened was the hood would come up 8 times on that part of the oval, and then it ended up flying off at 135 miles an hour, and my back end ends up coming around on me. But I stabilized it. I finished the race, and I ended up finishing fifth, I believe. So pleased about that, but what happened was the damage on the car, there was a hole in the oil cooler that meant that oil was splattering on my windshield, so I could not see anything in my windshield. My left front tire had a 3-inch toe out, so the tire was pointed out instead of directly straight. It wasn't aligned, so when I was making right turns, it was actually slowing me down because it was creating force or resistance. So the cockpit was all smoke, but I finished the race, and I had a group of people that came down, and they were really excited. They said I did a great job. They had heard about me, how exciting a racer I was, and they came to see me race, and I didn't let them down like I had it all planned. Little did they know I did not want that. But anyway, so they ended up buying my fiberglass hood. They had me sign it. Another group of people had me buy another piece of the fiberglass from the car. So that's another example of never giving up, always learning and always just driving and having the focus of your end goal there so you can achieve it. So I have many, many more stories, but we won't go into that. Have I ever been in an accident? Yes. Have I survived it? Thank God, yes. Have they been bad? Yes. Did I almost roll over the car? Yes. That was one of the accidents where the car almost went to flip over, ended up flipping on its side. That was a real learning experience. If you want to know more, I can tell you after. So those are just some of the examples of sometimes when it seems like it's impossible, that it can really become possible, but it takes a lot of hard work and persistence. So the bottom line there is not to quit. Have determination, enthusiasm, perseverance, eagerness, practice. And you know what? Sometimes you just got to smile and laugh about it when things happen that way. Because so be it. It was like that. You can't do anything about it. So those things can either set you back or it can drive you to try harder. A lot of times, those lessons learned actually help build character, make you a better person, even though at the time you're going through it, you may not think that to be the case, but in the end, it may be so. Now, we are racing in Las Vegas next to Nellis Air Force Base, and for those of you that may have seen the clip, we struck up a conversation with the personnel there. They invited us to the base. We had decals on our race car the next day. 8 months later, in Battle Creek, Michigan, I am in the cockpit of F-16 with my name on the side. We are up for 45 minutes. We did Aerolon rolls, 360, upside down, zero gravity. I flew it for 10 minutes. We pulled 9.6 Gs. Which is about 1,300 pounds of pressure on my body. Awesome. Awesome. Amazing what the Thunderbirds go through, and that's an example of a perfect team. You have to have communication, trust, precision, expertise. Racing is boring compared to what F-16 can do. But I really appreciate that opportunity. And if it wasn't for racing, I would have never had that opportunity. Also, being inducted into the Sports Faith International Hall of Fame, I feel very honored and blessed to have that opportunity. I am now among the greats, such as Dave Casper from the Oakland Raiders and Mike McCoy from the Green Bay Packers, and now I have the honor of being among you. So I appreciate that very much. So the secret of success: prayer, perseverance, obstacles get thrown your way. Celebrate your victories. You know, I believe without the help of God that we can't achieve the things that we may always want to achieve, and that it's sometimes His way or His timing. But I have a deep faith and trust in Him. So, devote yourself to an idea, go and make it happen, overcome any fears, smile, and don't forget that realize your dreams and that the impossible may become the possible. So God bless you, and God bless America, and thank you for being here today. Thank you. I have actual cards if anyone wants any. I also have, you can take them, pass them around. I also have calendars that I can pass around. And I made it in the month of May. So, in my Mustang. I also have some pens. You can take them, pass them around. Yep. Here's. Yep. Help yourself. Any questions from anyone? Yes. Wait. Let's have everyone hear your question.
How long does it take? How long is your career normally for a race car driver, and especially a woman?
Very good question. Actually, I think if you're successful, it's longer, but it's as long as you want it to be. Racing is not a cheap sport. That's why it's important to get sponsors, and the more sponsors you can get, the more money you can get, the higher up you can go in the different levels of racing. But the important thing, or the bottom line, is competence. So if you maintain your competence, then your racing career can be a long time. The other thing, too, is people say, well, in Formula One, it's an age requirement. And I think now, what is it, 33 or something like that? So there's a limit there. But for other racing, it's not. And to me, age is nothing. I throw that out the window because it's a matter of, it's a state of mind, what you can do, how you believe in yourself, and also the bottom line of competence. Good. Any other questions? I know I have a question from this guy right here. No, any other questions? Oh, here? Okay.
I share your nursing, so that's great. What else do you do?
Well, occasionally I get to sleep. But I am actually a leadership and professional development program manager at Ford Motor Company. So that's a full-time plus job. I do traveling to China for programs, and also in Michigan and some other places. I used to teach piano, play piano. I haven't been able to do it much anymore. I do gardening. I travel, I do motivational speaking, I sing in the choir at church, I try to go to daily mass. What else do I do, Rich? Oh yeah. I organize pilgrimages. I go to Bible study every Wednesday, but we also organize pilgrimages to different places. We go to Our Lady of Consolation in Cary, Ohio. We're also looking at Our Lady of Lourdes by Cleveland, Ohio, going there. So I do that type of thing. That is my recharging my battery and also remembering the importance of why I'm here. I think it's really important to nurture talents and to share talents with others. Good question.
How many doctorates racing except of you?
Doctors. How many doctors? Oh, excellent. How many doctors race besides me? Actually, there are quite a few. Orthopedic physicians, dentists. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Was there another question?
Not me. I'm the boss.
He says he's the boss. He has the deep pockets. Why do the doctors race? Because I think the challenge and to see what a vehicle can do and the competition, it's just, to me, racing, you get immediate response as to if you're doing things right or not right. And also, it's very gratifying when you do everything right and when you win. There's nothing like winning. And you never know when that next win is going to come around, so you always celebrate it when you have it.
A couple questions. One, could you tell us a little, have you ever met this female race car driver, Patrick? Do you know her? And number two, was Steve McQueen and Paul Newman your idols?
Yeah, very good. Yes, I have met Danica Patrick. I'll leave it at that. Something she does, I have certain values that I would never, never do some of the things. Okay. On the track, where did I race her? At go-karts? Oh, most part in Canada. But she wasn't the friendliest person. It would be nice to have talked to her. Paul Newman, I have raced with Paul Newman. And yes, one of my idols. Actually, it was in Atlanta, Georgia. And he was in a Camaro, I believe. He had 660 horsepower. I was in a Panos GTS. I had 330 horsepower. So the track is a road course with elevation changes. And in what they call the S's, I was right on his tail, right behind him. So I'm in the car saying, go, get going, Paul Newman, get going. And then when we got to the straightaway, it was like I put my brakes on and he just took off. So, but it was fun. Great guy. His number changed on the car every year and it reflected his age. And there's an example of you can do anything regardless of your age. Yeah. Steve McQueen, yeah. I don't have stories to tell of him, but yes, another idol as well. Yeah.
Central Michigan contacts with all the football players, baseball and basketball.
So another thing that I do is I go up to all the Central Michigan football games whenever I'm not racing and have a lot of contacts there, have met a lot of the football players, have interfaced with the baseball players and all the other sports, involved with the Catholic Church there on campus, which is very active for their students at St. Mary's. So we're very supportive of that. Actually, it is right here in the middle of the state of Michigan. It's close to Midland, yeah. Mm-hmm. Other questions? Wait, hold on.
Do you primarily race with other women, or are you in the men's competition too?
Good question. Actually, there aren't many women out there. And when the women's series started, there were 200 women that are tried out from around the world. 60 were accepted, 32 were in the first race, and that was the only. For 2 years, I raced, so a total of 12 races. But typically, there aren't A lot of women racing, and in my class, in my group that I'm racing, no women. I'm the only one. So what does that mean? Well, that means that it may the other racers have helped to form me to what I am today, and I think the standards are high, expectations are high. Sometimes the guys aren't too happy when I beat them, but that's the way it goes. But I have helped them, they have helped me, but typically I'm the only girl. And when I teach at the Bondurant School in Arizona, I'm the only girl, but I feel like I'm one of the guys, and I tell them, hey, you guys, I'm just one of you, is how I put it, because to me, make it a level playing field. It doesn't matter about gender. So, good. Other questions? What am I a doctor of? I have a PhD in human and organization development, so dealing with people and organizations. I am a nurse. At one time, I wanted to be a medical doctor, but I said, you know what? I don't want to go to school all my life. In the end, I have gone to school almost all my life. So, but it's all good, good stuff. Always good to learn.
What's the biggest difference, you think, between male and female drivers? And, let's just leave that.
Good. Wow. Biggest difference. Okay. I think men come out to a race and they think they know everything. Where a woman will come out and we'll learn to get up to a certain level. So we might have more patience in ourselves, where a guy just wants to go out and kill it. Do they take
more risks on the chair? Yeah, when they are driving, risks.
Good, yes.
And female drivers take more calculated risks. Is that the difference?
You could say that, but I also take risks. So I think it depends on the person. And it depends if you know your audience or who you're driving with. I'll give you an example of racing in Pittsburgh this past weekend. So a part of the track, it's a long straightaway, but there's a kink in it. It was in the rain, so I went to make a pass on the inside there in the kink, and this Camaro just came shut. It shut my door. And I was like, yikes! So I had to get off the gas, get in the grass, get on the brakes, you know, all that type of thing. So I think... but you may be right that men take more risks than women when women are starting out. Yeah, good question. My sponsor right now, Dr. Z. I've had Visteon sponsor me for 5 years. I had a car dealership sponsor me. I had Dynatech Mustang aftermarket Mustang parts. They sponsored me for a while. Farmers News sponsored me, so different people. My parents sponsored me.
Have you ever experienced an event while driving where it was a bingo bango and you didn't know if you were going to make it or not? In other words, a near-death situation while you were racing?
Probably the closest to that would be the time that I actually didn't, I had problems with my brakes. So it was in Ohio. It was in a professional race in Grand Am. Out on the track, my brakes were locking up on me, so I ended up coming in the pits. The brakes locked up before I got in my pit stall, so my mechanic had to come out with the jack and actually jack me up and pull me in. They worked on the brakes. Whenever I'm in the pits, I'm not very happy. I like to be out on the track. So when they finally got me all together, my car, I go shooting out on the track. I'm going faster than I ever, than if I were on the track. Go into a turn. I'm downshifting now from fourth to third. I have no brakes. Brake pedal is on the floor. So I had to go through three scenarios very quickly in my mind, which one I was going to take, which one had the least effect on people. So the first one, I wanted to eliminate going into the crowd. There was a sandy area, but I still didn't want to go in that direction. The other one, I wanted to miss the corner workers. The third one, I wanted to shoot across the track to be able to scrub off speed and go in the other direction. So I ended up cutting across, made it a 45-degree angle instead of 90, went over the curve, started flipping, and actually things kind of go slow motion at that time, so I never lost any consciousness. Ended up flipping almost over, head over head, ended up flipping though on my side, but I made the mistake of staying in the car. So it seemed like forever, and then they find, you know, you're all crunched up and everything because you're on the side. Then they got me out of the car, used the jaws of life, destroyed the car, got me out, but I learned from that. But never a near death, thank God. but that probably was the closest. I mean, that was my major accident. Had neck injuries, back injuries, against medical device. I was in a car, I think, four weeks later. They thought I fractured my neck, but thank God I didn't. And you never let those things bother you. But anyway, all good stuff. Another question?
When you talk about practicing, I mean, how many hours did you put into this before you ever even went into your first race?
Not a lot. There's not a lot of time to practice. Usually in a race weekend, you might have a half hour, couple half hours to practice, and you got to qualify, then you got to race. So you got to be on your game. I went to different schools to learn. So I did, I think, 18 different schools all over the United States. And I guess I would call that practice to keep yourself sharp. But it's always a matter of learning. And every race is always different. Different circumstances, the weather may be different, car may be different, you may be different. You have all the drivers, you have to figure them out what they're going to do. But not a lot of practice time. I would like more of it, but it's a matter of my full-time job keeps getting in the way. Good stuff. Yeah.
Is there a code among race car drivers that's not a written code, but rather a more of an understood code where the other driver becomes as important as myself or something like that?
Well, you wish there would be. For some drivers, there may be, but others, there isn't. It's all about them. They don't care about you. I've gone 180. So I say 180 to me feels like 90 to you. I want to go faster. Give me more horsepower.
What track have you driven on where they actually have the lanes marked? You've got to hit your marks.
Oh, okay. What track have I driven on where they have the lane? Vi, thanks for coming. Where they have the lanes marked, do I have to hit the marks? Typically not. There aren't markings. You have to figure it out yourself by a seam in the road, a track, a crack in the road. So it's a road course, so it's typically asphalt. We go on some ovals. I've gone to Phoenix, to Dallas, to Daytona, to Texas. So we do part oval and then part road course. So, you know, you might have a dot on the oval part, but not a lot of markings. Good. Good questions. Any other questions?
Do your sponsors take care of your medical bills when there's an injury?
No, not at all. It ends up being your own medical insurance. The other thing that brings to mind is it's a no-fault insurance for the damage to your car, too. So someone else runs into me, causes an accident, I have to pay for all the repair on the car, even though they caused it. Yeah. So I'll give you another example. I'm racing in Ohio in the rain, and I love racing in the rain. Again, remember, the more challenging, I love challenges. So the more challenging it is, the more fun I have. So racing in the rain. We go out for practice. I was the fastest, I think third fastest out of 60 cars, feeling really good. So the session finishes, and on the back straight, I went to pass a couple Vipers, And I ended up hydroplaning. So my car is coming around on me, and I'm correcting it and saving it, and I feel really good. I saved it from going into the concrete barrier on the left side. Then my car flips around, and I'm going backwards now on the track, and these two vipers are looking at me. And I know there's another concrete wall on the other side that I'm headed towards, but I try to get the car to go parallel because I know I'm going to hit. So I get the car parallel to it, and I tap the wall. I say tap the wall. It hit the wall, but it wasn't a real major hit. At least it didn't feel. So anyway, my mechanic, hour half later, changes the rear axle, changes the front tie rod, gets me out on the track to qualify, gets me out in the race. I finished first in class. Everything was great. Month later, we come racing in South Haven, Michigan, and we're parked next to the Viper driver. So I was talking about Ohio and in the rain and everything, and they said, "That was you? That was fabulous how you saved the car. And then at the end, it just came around, and oh, you just kissed the wall." And I said, "Yeah, tell me about it." But those things happen, and it's all part of learning. It might be a little bit expensive, but you only live once, right? Any other questions? It's manual. Man, you're shifting. Yeah, exactly. You're shifting about 300 times the whole race. I mean, so you get so used to it, and yeah. You have more control of the car. Angela, did you have a question?
Well, first of all, Dr. Audrey, thank you for coming here today. Can everyone clap for her? Big round of applause. You're my hero, for sure. Of all the inductees that we've had in the Sports Faith Hall of Fame over the years, you're just the real deal. So thank you so much for coming, and I know you're doing another shift. But I was going to ask you a different question. You speak at high schools and do motivational speaking. Can you tell us, what do you see in the high schools today? What are the things that the kids are grappling with, and how does sports help them get through that?
Okay, what do I see in the students? Actually, I think the students are distracted with all kinds of things out there, unfortunately, and also the peer pressure. But I think sports helps them that they have something to focus on. They get the principles of working together as a team, doing something good, and it gets them off, not out there to get in trouble. It keeps them away from trouble. So I think it's good. I really am gratified when the students are very interested in racing, and it's always interested to see their expression when I come in as a girl racer, that they're like, "You're the race car driver?" I just think that's so cool. Anyway, thank you all for coming. I appreciate it, and have a great day. God bless you. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of What It Takes to Win with record-breaking race car champion Dr. Audrey Zavatsky. For more information about this or any WSFI program, visit www.wsfiradio.org. Or to donate to WSFI, please send your tax-deductible donation to WSFI Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Again, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048.